Expository stuff out of there tonight, amen, instead of the Ephesians. And I just want to show you what we find in our faith tonight.
Go ahead. He said, I got saved today. He said, I just ran home and said, I finally found something worth living for.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, Brother Bubba, I'm excited for you, buddy, because I'm going to tell you something. It's one of the most incredible experiences I ever had in my lifetime, seeing how God could just move in. It don't matter where you're at, as long as God's there.
Amen.
I think God's going to do great things for you, buddy.
Amen.
I'm excited for you. But I'm just thankful that God saves old sinners.
Amen.
He does.
And I feel like I'm at the top of the list. I feel like I'm as least as they can come. And God looked down and saw me.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't see what I was. He covered me with the blood. And I'm thankful tonight that God doesn't see me, but he sees the blood of Christ.
That's right.
That covers my sins.
Right.
And I haven't always been what I should be, you know, but I was thinking the other day, God just really blessed me when I got to thinking about it. I thought, you know, I'm not always, Dad had to take the belt off and apply some correction from time to time when I was growing up. And I wasn't always what he wanted me to be. And sometimes I disappointed him, but I was always his son.
Yes, you were.
Because of the blood.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I wasn't always in fellowship. And there was times when he put a licking on me. And I got to say, tonight, you know, that old thing about it's going to hurt me worse than it does you, that's a lie right there. I'll tell you what, it hurt me more than it did him. But God was all over that when I thought here through that blood relationship, hey, when the devil tells you you're not saved, you can come because of the blood. I'm under the blood.
Amen.
Amen.
And the blood covers my sins tonight. I'm glad it's not because of how good you are, but it's how righteous he is.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That we're on our way to heaven.
Amen.
Pray for me.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
Wonderful testimony.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad God, like it says over there, I believe in 1 Corinthians, he can use the
base to confound the wise. You know, God's not so wise to confound the wise. God's weak to confound the strength, amen, of the world. And no matter who you are, God can use you.
Amen.
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 I got a story about that, too. Can I tell it, Bubba?
Yeah.
He got a call from the head of Rockefeller. They want to ask him some questions. And I said, Bubba, you know, I read his app over and helped him and everything. I said, they may want to ask you a question about this or this. Just be ready. Be prepared. And basically what happened is the head had read his application and seen his handwriting. And just wanted to call and make sure that Bubba could read and write. Because his handwriting is so bad. Y'all can laugh. It's okay. Because his handwriting is so bad. He said, well, yeah, I can't read and write. I just can't write very pretty. He said, me neither, amen. You're going to be in. And all you had to do is come chain class time. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if you got pretty handwriting. Right. Whether people think you can't even read it, man. God can still use it.
That's right.
Amen. Right there.
Amen.
If it's God's will, I told Bo and Dennis, we've always heard how hard it is to get it wrong. And I said, don't even worry about it. It doesn't matter. None of it. Because what we're going to do is just trust the Lord. If it's His will for you to be doing this, then God's going to make a way.
That's right.
And you just do everything you can to serve Him and do everything you can to do it right. And I believe the Lord is doing it. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see what happens. I said, if He don't, God's still going to use you. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes He's got to do different things different ways. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 23. I'm going to read it to you in a minute. Now, I just want to show you real quick what we find in faith. Really what Christianity's all about, amen. And we like to go expository through these different Pauline epistles. The Apostle Paul wrote these. And when in this New Testament portion of your Bible where Paul wrote these books, that is when it's church doctrine. That's when you know that it applies to you and I and what we are doing today. And Galatians is a book that deals with the liberty of the Christian. What you can do and the grace that you have and the fact that we are no longer under the law. The entire Old Testament is under the law, amen, all the way up even until the end of the Gospels when Jesus Christ dies on the cross. It's still Old Testament. There's not a New Testament until there's a death of a testator.
Right.
The testator is Jesus Christ,
right,
who dies on the cross.
Right.
So your Old Testament doesn't end until Matthew 22, wherever it is that Jesus dies on the cross in those Gospels, amen. So that's all still under the law, and that's why it's very difficult. When we look at how John the Baptist was baptizing him for the remission of sin and these different things, it gets very confusing. But when you're looking at a Pauline epistle like Galatians, you know that God is talking specifically to you, amen? And here's what was happening in the time. Each one of these, this isn't just some big rule book or something written out just to tell you what to do in a sense, but these are different letters. You know this. The epistle, an epistle is a letter to a group of people. And what God did is take these letters that Paul and different men wrote to the different churches and to different people and put them together for our learning and for us to have the perfect Word of God. And Galatians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. And that what happened was, after the founding of the church, men had seeped in, just like all over the place in all churches, amen. But false teachers called Judaizers were coming in and teaching that a Christian was not saved by grace through faith or was not kept by grace through faith, but he still had to keep parts of the law that was under the Old Testament. They were saying that people were justified in the eyes of God by their works of the law and not just faith. But we know the New Testament doctrine of faith, we are justified. The doctrine of justification, you are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, amen. And that's how we're saved. So they were teaching that a person was saved partly by faith and partly by works. Or in essence, as I see it, they were saying to keep your salvation, amen, that you would have to do what they said, a part of the law. It was circumcision, something the Old Testament saints did to show that they were God's people. And they were saying that you must continue to do this. And in my mind, they were already claiming to be saved. So to me, it's on the backside.
Brother Blake, saying that you must keep this work to stay safe. That sounds just like just about every church out there, if you think about it, man. Most everybody will tell you that you're saved by grace through faith, but then they will add all these different works and things that you have to do to stay safe. But this Bible right here teaches that if a man will believe that Jesus Christ died for his sin and rose from the grave, proving he was God, will trust in that to save him from his sin, put all his faith and trust in him, then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Right.
So there's this group of people that came into this church and was teaching that that was wrong. Amen. They said you had to undergo circumcision. And we know what Paul said. I'll read you Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Nothing you've done, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If we were able to do it, we'd brag and talk about how good we were, and that would create a hierarchy. The man that could work and keep his salvation, we'd be better than the man that struggled with sin. And therefore, that's not God's plan, amen. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, in Acts 4. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that some of them guys make fun of us. I'm glad my actions don't keep me saved.
Amen.
I'm glad my actions don't change my relationship with God.
Right.
We have a relationship with, I have one with Jesus Christ because I met him one day, I called on him one day, and I got saved. Now, my fellowship can get messed up, amen. We can get away from each other, and my prayer life will be hurting, but my relationship will always be the same, amen. Could you imagine living in constant fear and anxiety and always worrying if you're right with God, always worrying that if you die, where you go, and if you go to hell, and all those different things?
Right.
I mean, my goodness, how do they teach their children that Jesus' death on the cross is good enough to save them temporarily or predicated on what they do and how they act? That's what was going on in the church of Galatia. That's exactly what was going on. So Paul writes a letter to the church, amen. And God said he wanted that in our canon of Scripture, and now it's in your Bible. It's divinely inspired, amen. Paul had preached the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith, and those Jewish converts could either not fully grasp that doctrine due to the indoctrination of works that they had, or they felt a need to control people. Some folks, I don't think many are predatory or all are. I think they're confused. But some folks feel a need to control people. One Nazarene pastor once looked at a pastor friend of mine and said, well, if y'all preach it by grace through faith alone, how in the world do you keep them living right? How do you preach to them to get right? It's like they didn't understand it. That makes me wonder about that man's salvation.
Right.
Because he don't understand what's happening in the Holy Ghost living in you. If God lives in you and you're saved, you're going to want to do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
There's nothing a man can do to earn his salvation.
Right.
It's a free gift.
Right.
Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. For with heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich unto all that can call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So all of that's our background. And here's what Paul says in Galatians 3:23. If you're looking at your Bible, it says this, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 23 and 25 said, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up on faith, which should have the word be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Those verses are referring, I believe Galatians probably, looking in front of the chapter, probably what, Jeff 50 AD 60 is one of the earlier ones. Probably 20 years after Christ died on the cross. Amen. And it had crept in that fast. Short time after the dispensation of law, which was the right way, before Christ came, it was the way that fellowship with God, only for the Hebrew people. The Gentile people, we were pagans, we had no way to God, amen. God had set us aside at that time, and now He's drafting us in. But before then, listen, just 20 years before, there was no way to God. For us, especially, there was no way we were kept under. The Bible says we were shut up. The verses used in there, and there was no way out of that law. But the law, the reason for that whole testament, amen. The whole reason you've got that whole it's wild how God's done this thing and put this thing together.
Right.
It's wild how He had that law and that Levitical code and all that stuff for all those years, amen. And all those men, some of them were saved by believing and doing what God told them to do and all those things. And some of them wasn't, but now we come to this dispensation of grace, and all of that law was to teach you and I that we cannot live up to the standards. We cannot do enough to save ourselves. We cannot do enough to work ourselves into heaven, amen. And that law, it never truly cleansed sin or removed the shame that men bear. It was a schoolmaster. It was a teacher. It showed man where he failed. It showed man where he deserved to be condemned. But it can never deliver man. You could commit every sacrifice. You could come every year and slay a goat. That's how they did in the Old Testament. Slay that sacrifice. Shed that blood. But the blood of bulls and goats will never atone for sin. It was never good enough. It was temporary.
Amen.
But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster,
right?
The works doctrine. I got friends from Lincoln County here, amen, or their family is, and Lincoln County has been eat up, amen. I preach all kinds of Bibles over there, and there's church after church after church who's lost their pastors. Different men begin to run them, and half of them are works doctrine, although they're independent Baptist churches. And they're confused. And it happens all the time. But the schoolmaster is no longer in charge. You are no longer under bondage. You are no longer kept up under the law.
Amen.
Right. After we're saved by faith, we find several things that we find in faith that the law did not provide. Every person in the world should want to be saved because of the things we find in our faith.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what a Muslim finds in their faith. I know that droves of them are getting saved over across seas because men found out we can go over there and teach them forgiveness because they have no way to be forgiven their sin. They have to live with the regret, and what they do is do those. Some of them do the crazy acts. Some of them, they pray for hours. They do all that stuff. But they have no feeling or essence of forgiveness. Could you imagine? No other religion does. Can you imagine? Yeah, I remember the day you got saved and you felt the forgiveness that God gave you. And it was like, if you lived in any sin like me, it was like a weight was lifted off of your life, amen, and you didn't feel the burden of that sin or that condemnation.
Amen.
I'm going to show you three things we find in that faith, amen. In faith we find a father. Verse 26 and 27 say this, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know if it's Oprah Winfrey or which goofball on TV said, we're all God's children. No, we're not.
Right.
That's right.
There's the children of Satan and there's the children of God.
Right.
The Bible says that you're of the spirit of disobedience. Amen. He's your father. If you're not saved. When you get saved, you're adopted into the family.
Right.
Verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ and made him our Savior, God becomes your Father.
Amen.
You are adopted into the family of Christ.
Right.
And verse 27 said, we're baptized into Christ and have put him on. I don't believe that this is talking about water baptism.
Right.
I know
right.
it's not. But it's right. the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God,
right.
which occurs only at the moment you get saved.
Right.
And that baptism, amen, it changes you. The Holy Spirit then indwells you. Mm-hmm. Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew, Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all made to drink into one Spirit. We put on Christ, and when God looks at us, I just said it when we were singing, he no longer sees us or our works, but he sees Jesus Christ and his perfect life. Jesus never wants to see him. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I have a father like God the Father.
Amen.
Us human fathers mess up sometimes. And sometimes, I don't know, you can ask my boy over there, sometimes I'm a little bit too hard. Yeah. Son, you can ask my daughter over there. Well, my daughter would say, oh, my son, I'm a little bit too soft. Shut your mouth. And we ain't perfect, man. We're unbalanced.
Right.
We're unbalanced. I mean, I remember moving this town. I was a new preacher in town. Brock was 5 years old. We played basketball and baseball. And my whole life, I've coached pretty much everything my kids did. My boys played ball. And I was one of them guys. Hey, man, I'm out there. I'm yelling. And there was one game, Brock, you probably don't remember it. You struck out 3 times. I was angry. We come home. We stood right there on the little knoll. Back here by the sidewalk, by the parsonage, and we worked on your swing for hours, and I was hard, and I yelled at him, and I said, elbow up, and I said, level swing, I said, shift your hips, I said, squash the bug, and man, y'all remember that? You gotta squash the bug with that foot, and I was teaching him a swing, but I was too hard on him, amen, and I was negative. That's an earthly father. I'm glad I got a father that doesn't mess up at all in heaven. Knows exactly what I need.
Right.
Knows exactly what I need. I truly believe Carla's not as stubborn as all y'all think. And that she didn't get saved for 5 or 6 years after me, not because she's a stubborn person, but because this whole thing was confusing to her. And she thought, what? There's a God in heaven that loves me and wants to be my father? My own daddy down here doesn't love me and I don't even know him? I got a stepdaddy that treats me the way he does, and no man's ever loved me down here. How in the world? What are you talking about? There's a God the Father in heaven that loves me.
Yeah. Amen.
Took a whole lot of work from the Holy Ghost dealing with the heart, showing her the love of God and dealing with her.
Yeah.
There is a God in heaven that loves you with a perfect, perfect love.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad we've got a God, we've got a Father in heaven. Secondly, in faith, we find a family. Verse 28 said it like this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ. You see, under the law, the Jews were God's chosen people. I wouldn't necessarily put it like this, but I got one friend that says, God's the most gracious person. I mean, selected one race out. Everybody said, ain't none of y'all nothing. Y'all dogs. Y'all dogs, amen. That's what he said. These guys are the ones I like. But God had a perfect plan. God had a race. Don't you grab me on, don't you clip me on Facebook, amen. But God said here, these are my chosen people. These are the slaves over here. He allowed that. These are these women that were treated different under Judaism, amen. Things were different, amen. But then grace came through faith in him, and all were equal, amen. It was equal at the foot of the cross, hallelujah. Had the first man saved by grace through faith like you and I was a Hamite, amen. There's a black man, the Ethiopian eunuch, hallelujah. But God loves all people. Y'all know that old song, Jesus loves little children, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight, amen. I'm glad that God loves us no matter who we are, what color we are, where we come from, or any of that stuff, amen.
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 In Jesus' eyes, we're all the same. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, he said in Romans. 1 Corinthians 12, Fred, as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. There's no difference. It's real easy to think that God doesn't need others as much as he does us. The homeless man that we go and preach to down there on the east end of Charleston has destroyed his life and can't hardly even remember what day it is, amen, and don't have anything but one pair of pants and a shirt. What about the pedophiles and the felons and the wicked? But God loves all of them, no matter what they've done.
Right.
God loves them, and he can use them just like he can us.
Right.
And they're welcome into our family.
Yeah.
So that stuff's hard, amen.
Yeah.
And in a small community like this, everybody got problems with everybody else and all that stuff. Hey, man, listen, God loves all of us. God can use us all. And we all ought to be able to work together. Some of us have been on different ends of the spectrum. Some of us think we're too good and didn't need God. Some of us thought we was too low and couldn't even get to God. In my life, I would have been high on the totem pole, being born in a church, amen. Taken to church a week after I was born, raised up in a Bible preaching church just like this one, knowing the grace of God, never being taught works, never being confused about all that. Always knowing that I can trust Jesus Christ, my Savior, and call on his name and be saved. Always knowing that. And then growing up and rebelling against that. And going clean out the world and then taking myself to the lowest point on the totem pole. I went from the top, if you will, to the bottom. But thank God it's level at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
No matter where you've been or what you've done,
yeah,
he loves you tonight. Aren't y'all glad for that?
Amen.
You're in a family. Amen.
Amen.
And lastly, in faith, we find a future. Verse 29 says, and if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
If we be in Christ, we inherit the promises of Abraham, the Bible says. He was promised blessing. He was promised God's presence. He was promised guidance from God. He was promised a home in heaven. He was promised blessings. He was promised, the list goes on and on. But aren't you glad John 14:1 says, let your not heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house, my Father's house, are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know about y'all, but we really ought to get, I know this morning we did get excited. We had a real good time this morning. But we ought to be living on cloud nine all the time because we are saved.
Amen.
Don't y'all believe that?
Right.
Amen.
I know a lot of folks ain't been through a lot. I've been teetotal drunk, man. I hate talking about it. I've talked to different preachers. Like I know one preacher that never tells his testimony because no one kids to hear. My kids know mine. I don't want them to ever think I'm glorifying anything, and it's not cool. I mean, I was a teetotal drunk, man. And I couldn't stop. My life was destroyed. In all honesty, well, probably last year, but in all honesty, I now have to see the effects. I got the first stuff from my brother. God saved me out of it. Here I am, fine. He's a good kid because he's different. He's highly intelligent. Graduated with like a 3.9, some have come out of state university. Criminal justice, all that stuff. He's a genius. Genius. I sold him his first bag of dope. I got him his first beers. God saved me in my life. Did something right. That little buddy over there goes out there and plays Nintendo 64 with him. Says, Daddy, there's trash bags full of beer cans everywhere. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I hope they ain't watching, but if he is, may the Lord use it. He's a stark raving alcoholic.
probably ain't got no ability at all. Quit. He's going to break himself to death, Blake. He was 2 years older than me, and looks old. I sure am God saved. Glad God saved.
Amen.
I don't know about you. 18 years later, 19 maybe now, I don't know, 20, been a while. I look back at my life. I don't ever want to forget where I was. I don't want to forget. Y'all seen my Facebook post. I won't get into that stuff. I'm literally fighting people to help me, to let me run my family. I sit here fighting the devil and scared to death about every little element in my life because I want everything to be better than the best it can be. And I know Satan wants to tear things up. I'm sitting here with, I ain't talking about myself. You're in the same place. Think about what God's done for you. I'm sitting here feeling like I'm in the most blessed place I've ever been in my life. No matter what trials I'm facing, Blake, I feel like I'm so blessed. I'm looking at my kids.
Man.
I'm looking
Man.
At my boy Tyler preaching. I'm looking at my daughter dating a preacher. I'm looking at my little man preaching. And I'm looking at my family. I'm saying, thank God. Thank you. I don't deserve it. Where he saved me from. The future he's given me. What a God. What a God.
Man.
Lord, I wonder if you guys have noticed seeing how deep the Father's love for us. He loves you tonight. He loves you. He loves you. I don't know where you are. You might be sitting here. You ain't thankful. You ain't felt love. You've been grumbling, complaining about life, complaining about marriage, complaining about the kids. I don't know what it is. Why don't you think about the good things he's done for you and just thank him tonight? Maybe you're sitting in here. You've never had this. You're not saved. You never had a family like God gives you. You've not had the blessings. I'm telling you. I don't want to preach in a manner that makes people just want to jump and be a Christian because they think it's filled with blessings and all that stuff. Holy Ghost will do what he's supposed to do. I just preach the gospel. I just throw a seed out there. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The fact that he died for your sins and rose from the grave. The fact that if you believe he died and rose, that he'd save you from your sin. That's all it takes. Prayer doesn't save you, but it is essentially a prayer talking to God. When you turn and say, God, I'm sorry for who I am. God, I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost, and I know I'm going to hell. But God, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me the best I can. God, I don't even know it all the first time I heard it, but God, I'm trusting that Christ died for me and that he rose from the grave, and I'm putting my faith and trust in that to save me. God, I tried other things, but God, I'm trusting you tonight.
Yeah.
Think that that worked for y'all?
Amen.
I said, come back and say, save me, God. That you might need to be saved. You can turn to somebody beside you. You can come to this altar and somebody help you. Let's do business with God tonight, amen. She's going to sing how deep the Father's love. I'm going to pray. If you need to be saved or you want to come pray, thank the Lord. Let's do it tonight. Father, we love you. God, we thank you. God, we praise your name. God, I praise you for who you are and what you've done, God.